Blog Talk Radio.
God, this is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. Welcome to another live internet radio broadcast. Continue to listen to the music, and I will return.
Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I am here to bring on our guest speaker tonight. I want to lift the lines up with a word of prayer, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight on this broadcast. You get prepared for a treat. We're excited about the man of God that's coming forth tonight, and I just want to encourage everyone to get your Bibles out so that you can eat at the table. Well, Father God, we thank you for this hour of power. And, Father, we yield, Lord God, our will to your will. And we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would saturate our ear gates, Father. We come against the enemy, any communications through the phone lines, via Skype, via Internet. And we thank you, Lord God, that our ear gates are open, that we're ready to receive. I thank you, Father God, that as the man of God go forth, that he would be unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do. And, Father, I ask you to keep his mind stayed on you as you open his, as he opened his mouth, that the kingdom of God would be activated by every word. I thank you for what you're about to do, and I thank you, Lord God, for what you have already done. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, I pray and I say amen. And I'm going to yield the lines back to you, Evangelist. Well, amen. Maybe there's a little technical problems on the line with Evangelist Hannah, but I want to bring the man of God forth. I want to ask you, Apostle, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. God bless you.
God bless you. Praise God. We welcome you to Kingdom Builders International broadcast, and we're excited about you bringing the word forth, and I am about to yield the lines to you at this time. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, and the listener audience is waiting and in anticipation.
Amen. Thank you for having me. It's a blessing. Just thank God for the woman of God, Evangelist Hannah, and this opportunity and this chance, and also you as well. Thank God for you, woman of God, with the opening prayer and everything, because this is a time and a season that the people of God and the church and is experiencing a time of warfare, a time of battle. And the Word of God declares that our fight is not against flesh and blood. And so we have to realize that and know that our fight is not against what we see, but our fight is against the unseen around, the things that we don't see. And many people that are not familiar with spiritual warfare, I just want to encourage you on tonight, and hopefully you'll get some understanding concerning spiritual warfare. But I just thank God for those that are on the telephone lines that are listening in, and also those that are listening by way of Internet and Skype. You are in a treat on tonight. Hopefully you'll receive some answers and things that you have been looking for and concerning some things that you've been going through in your life, and that God is here to speak to you on tonight. There's a word of deliverance for you on tonight. There's a word of encouragement for you on tonight. And there, God has already made the way for you. Many of you have been experiencing some hardships in your life, some times of testing, trials, and tribulations in your life. But the Lord is a deliverer. The word of God declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. The word said all. It didn't say some. He'll deliver you out of some of them, but he said he'll deliver you out of them all. I know sometimes we can get discouraged by circumstances and situations, through our bad reports, things that we see, things that we hear that may seem to be negative. A lot of times the enemy may use someone that's close to us, or just use people, any kind of willing, put it like this, any willing vessel that will yield themselves to the enemy, that the enemy will use to come up against you, to come up against those that are of the kingdom of God. I'm talking to kingdom people, kingdom-minded people. I'm not talking about, you know, church and just going to church and going to hear the man of God, the woman of God, share the word and give their tithes, give their offering, and just go home. But no, I'm talking about kingdom people that know what time it is, know what season they are in their life, and know what they are up against, and know how to fight in the battle in this time of spiritual warfare that we are in. But know there is a time of rest that God brings us into. When any time you experience spiritual warfare in your life, there is a season of rest. There's a season where you enter into a place where you can be able to enjoy and even eat the fruit of your labor. Jesus Christ said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus Christ came to give us that abundant life. So don't let nobody preach to you a gospel of, as I would like to say, a poor message, gospel saying, oh, you know, you're supposed to be poor, you know, you're supposed to give up all your worldly possessions and so on and everything. If you read the Word of God, Jesus, he did not have a broke ministry. Jesus had people around him that had their own businesses, that they were people of money. Jesus, even the garment that Jesus had wore, it was not cheap. Notice when Jesus at the cross, hanging on the cross, why would the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, be casting lots, gambling for his garment if it was a cheap garment? So that tells you right there that was not a cheap garment. So again, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to prosper in every area of our life. He wants us to succeed spiritually, emotionally, financially, in our health, in our body. That's why the Word of God declared in 3 John and 2, Beloved, I wish above all that you prosper. First it said prosper and be in good health. And if you don't have good health, then you're not really prospering. You can't really do too much. You're limited. And even as the Word of God declares, even as your soul prospers, so if you emotionally broken, y'all, you know, messed up in your emotions and everything, depressed, and your mind messed up, you know, you're going through, you know, negative thoughts, unclean thoughts, all kind of thoughts other than the thoughts of God running through your mind. So emotionally, you're messed up. You can't make sound decisions. You can't make the right choices or decisions in life. You make bad judgment calls and so on. Why? Because you're emotionally messed up and everything. So that's why God wants us to prosper in every area. He just don't want us to prosper on the natural side, but he wants us to prosper spiritually and emotionally because it's all connected and tied in together. You have many people that have a lot of money in this world. I mean, just rich beyond measure, filthy rich. I'm talking about that dirty kind of rich. Don't even have to want for anything, but yet they have no peace. They have no joy. They, you know, they if they can buy peace, they'd do it. If they can buy joy, they would do it. Notice, you know, that's how they end up, you know, buying a lot of things and so on, thinking that this would cause them to be able to find peace, but it does not. And many times, too, they feel like, well, if I can do this and I can do that with the money that I have, maybe I can find some contentment or some happiness or something like this. No, they still do not find any peace, no happiness. And so the only way you're going to find all that out is through Jesus Christ. And so that's why God, again, God wants to prosper in every area of our life. And that's why he's talking about it's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. But that's why Jesus said it's easier for a camel to enter into an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that's why we don't have relationship with the Lord. We don't have relationship with him and walk with him, not religion, relationship with him, commune with him, fellowship with him, eat at the table with the Word of God. You're feasting, as the Word of God says in Revelation 3 and 20, here I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. So what it is to sup, sup is like for supper, to have supper, with to commune, to break bread, and that's what Jesus did at the Passover, and that's what he did when he was training and working with the disciples and preparing them to carry on the work of the ministry. So he was spending time with them, fellowship, and he was, you know, with them to the point where he wanted them to know him and him having a relationship with them. But what I want to bring to you on tonight to encourage you, man of God, woman of God, those of you that are listening on this line, even on tonight, again, by telephone or through the internet or Skype, I want to encourage you on tonight. I know there's something that you're facing in your life. You're facing a giant in your life, and that's the word that the Lord has given me to minister unto the people of God. You're facing a giant in your life that is standing in your way, that's keeping you from entering into your promised land, that is keeping you from entering into that place of destiny that God has ordained for your life. That giant is standing in your way, that giant of opposition, that giant of discouragement, that giant of financial debt, that giant of fear. What is that giant that is standing before you? If you can think to yourself right now, what is this giant? What is the giant that is standing in my way? What is hindering? What is keeping me from moving forward? A lot of times when you see something that is standing right before you, it's something big, it's something humongous, it's something great, it's something that stands tall, it's something that can be intimidating, will cause you to back up. it'll cause you to say, well, I'm not going that way. I want to try to find another way to get around this if I have to. But God is saying, no, I don't want you to try to go around another way to get around this giant. No, I want you to advance and go forward and run through this giant and deal with this giant that you're facing in your life. Because if you don't deal with this giant that you're facing in your life, then you're going to end right back up to that same point again where you're going to have to face the giant that is standing before you. I know many times we overcome things like in time past, God, we have battles that we have won, victories and so on and everything from past events that God calls us to overcome and to endure through and through spiritual warfare and so on and everything like that. But when you enter into a new year, when you enter into a new season in your life, there are greater demonic forces and demonic spirits and principalities and so on that comes up against you than what it did on last year. The enemy is not going to release demons that you have overcame last year into a new season in your life this year. He's going to release something greater to try to distract you, something greater to try to get you to turn away from God, to discourage you, to revile you, so to speak. And that's what I want to get to in the Word of God. Those of you that can go with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, I want to minister out of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And many of you, I know you're familiar with Goliath. I know you heard the story about Goliath. Those of you that are scholars, those that you are Sunday school teachers, or been to Sunday school, or heard in a Sunday message through your pastor, or and those of you that may be on this line, you may not be familiar with the story of Goliath, or you may not even know anything about the Bible. And so, and this is your first time coming on, listening on the line, or listening through the internet. But Goliath, I want to share with you about Goliath, a little bit on Goliath, which was, he was a Philistine who defiled the armies of Israel. And he did this. This went on for 40 days. This went on for 40 days. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, let's go right there, starting at the 4th verse, and it reads as follows. And there went out a champion, reading from the King James Version, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Now I'm going to read all the way down to verse 11. And so in this text of scripture that I'm reading is describing Goliath, is describing his height, is describing, you know, the armor that he wore and how he was dressed and everything. In verse 6 it said, and he had greaves and brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Now, Goliath, he stood 10.5 feet tall. I did some a little research on Goliath, a little bit history on him, but there were giants that were taller than Goliath. But Goliath, he stood about 10.5 feet tall. So that it tells you right there, his armor and everything, you know it had to be heavy. That it probably had to take, probably like 20 men just to carry his armor and so on, because it was just that heavy in weight, just that much. And I'm pretty sure just one of his legs was about, you know, huge and big. But anyway, it says here in verse 7, it says, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. Now, you know that that's heavy. And one bearing a shield went before him. Verse 8, and it said, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? And he asked the question, are not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Another question, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Verse 9, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel. This day give me a man that we may fight together. And now in there, verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So I want you to paint this picture in your mind. So imagine this. You can see that imagine the tallest basketball player, I mean, maybe bigger than, taller than Shaq. I mean, real tall. Just imagine a man like that, just taller than Shaq. They say Goliath stood 10 feet, 10 and a half feet tall, standing right there before you. Now, I'm pretty sure he had to be pretty husky, pretty built, kind of like big, and then, you know, did this big arm upon them and so on and everything. And, you know, they got to be pretty intimidating. You see somebody like that standing right there before you. And then not on top of that, they are making threats. They're reviling you, they're harassing you, and so on. And if any of you are familiar with the story of Goliath and of David and how he stood up and he challenged the armies of Israel. We know that the armies of Israel, they stood back because of them being intimidated by this giant, because they never experienced or encountered anything like this before. So they stood back kind of like up in the cut in the mountains and so on, off in the distance, afraid, terrified. Even King Saul himself was afraid of this giant. And usually when there's a battle going on, the king is supposed to be one of the first ones to go out into battle. The king is supposed to be the one that forefront everything and go out there and ready to be the first to take the enemy head on. But here's Saul, back here somewhere off in the cut, afraid, terrified himself. So isn't that like the enemy? When the enemy comes, as the word of God said, in like a flood. Sometimes, you know, life can come in like a flood, and cares of this life can come in like a flood. It can get overwhelming sometimes, and sometimes you don't know what to do, financial pressures and so on, all these different things, and you're so distracted and despondent, and you can get discouraged, and so on, all these different things are happening in this life. You can receive a bad report, a pink slip on your job, and the way the economy is going on, and so on, everything, all this is just not, it's not looking good at all. So imagine them facing and looking at Goliath and like, this is not looking good, and all the king is back here hiding behind his men and so on and everything. So no one will really stand up to the challenge to come up against this giant, which is called Goliath. Now take this in the spiritual. Now the word of God said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of darkness of this world. So again, as you heard me share with you earlier, mentioned earlier, that our fight is not against flesh and blood. And this is the battle that we are facing and that is going on with the church this day. This battle, this warfare that we're experiencing is the unseen realm. We're coming up against demonic spirits and forces, amen, that is coming up against the church that do not want to see the church or the kingdom advanced. And that's why Jesus said, you know that the kingdom of God has come unto you and that the kingdom of God is at hand when demon spirits are cast out. That's a sign of the kingdom is at hand, right there, right before you, right before your very eyes. So the big assignment of the enemy is to convince the world that he does not exist and that he is not real, and that demons and demonic spirits and all these different things that are happening are not demonically influenced and that it is not real. And let me tell you that the enemy also deals with generational curses. A lot of times we can go through some things and cause giants to be released into our life and face some giants in our life because of the sins of our fathers, because of things that they have done. And the word of God said that the sins of our fathers are visited upon the children, even down to the third and the fourth generation. So notice, spirits, they travel through generation. Familiar spirits, they travel through generation. They pass down one, when one generation passes to death, it comes down to the next generation. It comes to try to come up against, harass, or do whatever in the next generation. And so that's why it's very important to know spiritual warfare and to know what you're up against. The word of God said, be not ignorant, or not have you ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be ignorant of his devices. And we perish, as Hosea said, because of lack of knowledge. That's why it's very important to know what you're up against. And you wouldn't go and get behind a vehicle and operate a vehicle if you never studied driver's education, if you never, you know, went in the classroom and you studied the lesson on operating a vehicle, or what you have to do when you get out and drive out in public, you know how when you come up to a stop sign, identifying that, and railroad crossings, and when you're merging on a highway and so on and everything. So nobody's just going to turn around and just release some keys to you and give you some license and say, here, go ahead, just go on and drive and do whatever what you want to do. No, you have to, if you do, if somebody do that, that's crazy, the enemy would do that. But anyway, you'll kill somebody. You go out there, you don't know what you're doing, you don't have to put the car in gear and so on and everything. You just wouldn't know what you're doing. Like I said, you end up killing somebody out there and so on. But what you do is, basically what we do is, that's why we study. What did God say? Study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why we need to study the word of God, so that we will know, and so that revelation knowledge will be revealed to us through the word. I'm not just talking about studying just to read scripture, just to read word, but pull the revelation, that the Holy Spirit reveal the revelation out of God's word unto you. And especially when it comes to the things of the Spirit, because the word of God said, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's who the Father seeketh, those that were such that will worship him. He said that the time cometh that we're not going to worship like as the Jews did, worship up here in this mountain. No, it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing, and that's how we can reach. Amen. The Father is through the Spirit, through our relationship with him, through prayer, through communication. And that's the same way when it comes to dealing in spiritual warfare and how to overcome and how to drive out demonic spirits and forces, and how to bind the hand of the enemy when the enemy comes up against you and take authority over the enemy. So if you have no knowledge, no understanding of spiritual warfare, then you will not know how to deal with the enemy, your adversary, the devil. The word of God declares that Satan and Daniel, I believe it talks about how he comes to wear out the saints. He comes to wear us out. That's his assignment, to wear us out, to wear you out, so that you would get so, you know, discouraged, so disappointed, to the point where you just say, forget it, let me throw in a towel. So that's what Goliath was doing. He was wearing them out with words. He was constantly just woofing and just saying words of intimidation and so on, and this caused fear to come in and wearing them out. And this went on for 40 days. That he was doing this, I'm saying all kind of words and everything, and think about it. Growing up in school, if you were one, growing up in grammar school, or whether it was high school, you always had that bully. You always had the neighborhood bully. You always had the bully in the classroom, on the school ground, or you always had the bully in high school or something like that, that always went around intimidating, saying words, trying to have people afraid of him or her, you know, intimidating and stuff, doing things. And a lot of times what they do, they try to, you know, seek out the one that seemed to be weak and stuff and so on. And that's what the enemy, that's the assignment of the enemy. That's what the enemy do. He look at you as you being weak. And what he do, he looks at, put it like this, he looks at your weakness. He looks at the areas where you may be struggling at. Look at the areas where you may be having shortcomings at and falling short at and attacking in those areas and come at you in those areas. But I'm here to let you know on tonight, according to the word of God, 1 John 4:4, the greatest he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the word for you on tonight, those of you that are listening on your online on tonight and streaming through the internet, listening by internet. That greater seed that is in you than he that is in the world. Anything that's going on around you in this world, you have a greater one living on the inside of you. I tell you, if you're a born-again believer, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the greater one living on the inside of you. I know you may be asking the question, well, I'm not too familiar with spiritual warfare. How could I deal with something like that? I haven't been in this thing long. I just got saved yesterday. No, you have the greater one living on the inside of you. The word of God declares in Mark, the 16th chapter, I believe, down in the last closing verses down in that chapter, Jesus declared unto them, he said unto them, that these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say these signs shall follow the apostles, these signs shall just follow the the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the bishop. These signs shall follow the deacons. No, he said these signs shall follow them that believe. You're born again, you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, amen. I want to encourage you, amen, with the evidence of speaking in new tongues, your heavenly language, amen. Then you have the greater one living on the inside of you. And when you know not what you ought to pray for, as the word of God says in Romans, the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will make an intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. He knows what to pray. He knows the mind and the heart of God. Amen. So that's why it's very important to be filled with the Spirit and speaking with new tongues, with that new tongue, praying. Hallelujah. Because that's another weapon of warfare, amen, that you can use against the enemy. When you have nothing, even just saying the blood of Jesus against the enemy, again, you have the greater one living on the inside of you. So I can imagine them standing back looking at Goliath, looking at this giant, just doing all this whooping, all this talking. But let me tell you something. Goliath has never fought a battle in his day. He did not. If you do some research and do some history behind Goliath, he never fought a battle in his day. They were so intimidated by his size and so on and everything and the armor and the spear that he had in his hand and him talking and this and that. That's what the enemy do. A lot of times he can say a lot of words, get you distracted, get you looking at what is being said. Like I said, negative reports. You hear negative reports. All that is a distraction of the enemy, something that you may see may not, in the natural realm that may not look so good. That's a distraction from the enemy. That's a smoke screen. The enemy just woofing at you, but you have a greater one that lives on the inside of you than he that is in the world. God wants you to access that which he has placed on the inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit, and use that against the enemy. And having done all to stand anyhow and to stand anyway. But in verse 11 it says here, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You mean, a lot of times when you're intimidated, in your situation, you got some news that was not so good and everything, it's quite natural. You end up getting afraid. Now, I know some people say, well, I don't get afraid, you know. I got faith. I believe God. No. Sometimes when you get some kind of disturbing news, some shocking news, some news that you weren't even expecting and so on and everything, sometimes that flesh will kick in and some fear will kick in. That's natural. That's normal. That shows, amen, that there's something there that you can be able to humble yourself, amen, and let God know that, God, hey, God, I need you and I can't do this without you. Look at who was that? Amen. That God said, mighty man of valor. Amen. Mighty man of valor. I believe it was Gilead. Amen. When he said, you mighty, mighty man of valor. Amen. But anyway, he was afraid, and God was calling him to battle, and he didn't know what to do. Fear kicked in. But God kept saying, mighty man of valor. Kept telling him, mighty man of valor. And sometimes you got to tell yourself, you got to speak to yourself the word of God. You got to put God in remembrance of his word and what he said unto you. Many of you that are listening right now, there has been words, prophetic words, words that have been spoken over your life concerning your purpose, concerning your destiny, because of fear, because of events that have happened in your life. Things may not have worked out the way that you thought that they was going to work out and everything, so it kind of discouraged you. It kind of had you at a place where, God, I don't know, where it don't look like it's going to happen for me. Begin to cast those thoughts down. Begin to cast down those things that the enemy have brought to your mind and to your thought, amen, and begin to stand upon God's word and begin to trust in him and what he has said concerning you, amen, and begin to war concerning the prophetic word that have been spoken, that have been prophesied over your life, that have been given to you. As Paul told Timothy, to war. So that's what you got to do in this season in your life, is to war. Even though you are experiencing this, you may seem to be getting tired right now, physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. But the word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. But what I'm saying is, don't be still. Don't wait. Just sit there and wait and be still. No, continue to serve. Continue to do what the Lord is having you to do. And God's going to begin to supernaturally renew your strength, give you that vitality, that vigor, that tenacity to do what he has called for you to do, to break you through in this season in your life, to cause you to overcome those giants that are standing before you, that are facing you. And some of you are going through some things in your life that you have never faced before. In all the years of your life and being in ministry or being a saint of God, a Christian, you know, in your life, and it's like, you know, this has been like for you, like, man, I never went through nothing like this before. I never experienced anything like this. It's really been hard for me. It's really been trying for me. I don't know. It just seems like I can make it through this. Yes, you can make it through this, amen, because you have a greater one living on the inside of you. And don't allow the enemy to cause you to be, you know, to a point where you're going to back up and withdraw and retreat and go and hide in the cave like Elijah, go and hide under the juniper tree, put it like that, like Elijah did. No, continue to move forward. Continue to advance, and don't let the enemy stop you from moving forward and to believe in God for the promise that he had promised you concerning your life, or tried to keep you from entering into your promised land. You can't let the enemy stop you. Begin to put on the whole armor of God, as Ephesians said. Put on the whole, as the word of God said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may withstand, amen, against the wiles of the enemy. So I want to encourage you to be able to do that, to put on the helmet of salvation. Amen. That's why I said when the enemy comes to attack your mind, see, the battleground is the mind. Notice, he didn't physically have to do anything. If a person can say words to get to your mind, then they got you. Those when boxers, if any of you are familiar with boxing, and what they do when they're out in the ring and they're boxing each other, you know, throwing punches at each other and so on, what they're out there talking to each other, and what they're doing, they're saying words to intimidate one another. You know, I'm going to knock you out. Usually, before the fight even begins, when they're promoting the fight, and if you notice they're saying words even before the fight, I'm going to do this, I'm going to knock them out in the third round, and so on, they're saying words of intimidation. Even when it come up to that point for them to begin to fight in the ring, they're in the ring saying words of intimidation to the other person. So if they know if they can get in and get them, you know, through words and everything, then they got them. And so that's what Goliath was doing. He was just using his words, and he felt like, I got him. I got him. And that's why he put that challenge out there, you know, that if I win, you know, if I win, then you got to submit to me. If you win, then we have to submit to you. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to fall into fear. He wants you to fall into intimidation. He wants you to submit to him and be in bondage to him, to be in prison to him. But you cannot let the enemy cause you to be in bondage or in prison to him. You cannot lose this battle. You got to fight this battle because you have the greater one living on the inside of you. Again, you have the weapons of warfare that are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. David knew that. David used the weapons of war that God had given him. I'm not talking about the weapon that somebody else give you, but I'm talking about the weapons that God has given you that you are skillful in, that you can use against the enemy. Amen. The word of God said in Luke 21 and 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So we know a lot of things have come upon this earth already and are yet still coming, and men's hearts failing them for fear, and that's what was happening with Goliath. The men's hearts, they were failing them for fear, and even today, I don't know what giant that you're facing in your life and what's causing you to fear, what's causing you to fret. The word of God said, be not envious. You say, fret not because of evildoers. Be not envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. Hear that. Grab that, somebody. Fret not. God wants you to fret not because of evildoers. You have those that have been working against you, even in the church. Amen. Working against you. Slandering your name. Talking about you. Lying on you. Talking about you behind your back. Backstabbing you. Betraying you. Once when your friend turned their back on you. Cut your throat in everything. Right in the church. Yes, in the church. You heard me say it. In the church. Amen, but I want to encourage you. Amen, there's another place, there's another dimension that God is moving you into, he's taking you into. God is preparing you. God is taking you to the next place in him. And this is not the time to go, again, like I said, hide under the juniper tree or go and hide in the cave or shut off somewhere and don't want to have nothing to do with the church. Because the word of God said, your inheritance is among them whom are sanctified. God is making you. God is molding you. And this is not a time to turn away and to run away. You're going to have these things. There is no perfect church. If there was a perfect church, there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come and to die for us if there was a perfect church. So don't go in trying to point out this and point out that, well, this is not right, that's not right, this, but there is no perfect church. But I want to encourage you to pray. If you see something going on, begin to intercede, begin to pray. Amen. Begin to bring it before the Lord. And I want to encourage you to encourage your pastors and you know, encourage the leaders in the house and so on. And if you are a leader, sometimes you just have to encourage yourself in the Lord, and that's what David had to do. Amen. Encourage himself in the Lord. He had his own brothers and different ones trying to discourage him, especially when it came to dealing with Goliath. He had no prior knowledge, no prior experience in the military or when it came to dealing with the armed forces, so to speak, like what we deal with in this time and day that we are in. We're just much more advanced than they were back then in those days. So he had his family trying to discourage him. Even, you know, the own King Saul himself trying to discourage him. And King Saul was the one that put it out there. He said, if anybody can defeat this giant, then you can have my daughter in marriage, hand in marriage. You'd be exempt from taxes, you and your family and so on. I'm going to give you a portion of my kingdom, you know, riches and so on and everything. So that was an open call right there. And David went up to take that challenge. And when he went to go and take that challenge, words were saying to discourage him. And so I want to encourage you, don't let nobody discourage you. from, you know, moving forward, from advancing the kingdom and what's going on in your life. And sometimes, you know, religion would say, well, self-righteous people say, you must have sinned. You must have did something wrong. That's why this is happening in your life. That's why that's going on in your life. You're out of God's will. You know, if they have any type of discernment, any type of spiritual discernment to know what season you are in, that's why we have four seasons here in Chicago. Four, we deal with the four seasons here. You know, winter, spring, summer, fall, we deal with four different seasons. And so you may be in a different season in from someone else. Someone may be experiencing their summer season of when they enjoying the fruit of their labors, blessings, and so on, and everything, and then, you know, the years of man believing God and going through things and so on. But then you have, may have a person, if you cannot, don't have spiritual discernment and discern, a person may be having a winter season in their life, going through a winter season, whether, you know, where they're going through and so on, and dealing with things, and God's taking them through the process. And that's the season of being, you know, hidden. And notice in the wintertime, when you're out there during the wintertime, you're covered up. You have on your big coat, you know, your boots, your hat and so on, you know, your gloves and everything, you're covered up. But in the summer, notice in the summer, you're not going to wear a coat and boots and hat and scarf and all that during the summertime. People look at you like, you know, you're crazy. You know, you're not, what season do you think that you're in? And some people cannot even discern, don't even really know what season that they are in. And that's why God is causing, amen, the church, amen, those that are in the kingdom, those that have spiritual discernment, God is causing that to be released even in this season, in this hour, as he did with the sons of Issachar, that knew the times and the season that the people of God were in. And that's what God is doing in this hour. God's going to cause you to know the time and the season that you're in and what you're going through, and that you're not going to abort the mission, that you're not going to abort that baby that God is giving you, which could be ministry, which could be business that God had placed on the inside of you, that it will come forth, that it shall come forth. Why? Because you know what season. You're not going to let nobody deter you or give you a false word and say, hey, you know what, you should be going in this direction. You know that's not the direction that God told you that you're going in. God said this is the direction that you're going in, to stay focused, to walk in this direction, and you're not letting anything deter you or anything like that. Why? Because you know what season that you are in. And this is the season for David to reign. Amen. Because remember, David got anointed. He was anointed. Now, he was anointed the next king. He was anointed, but there was anointed to rest upon him. The prophet came himself to anoint him. And any time when God releases his anointing upon your life, you must go through a time of testing. You go through a time of trial. You go through a time of tribulation in your life and everything, of preparation to move you into that place that God has anointed you for. God don't release an anointing on you just to be anointing you, but you're anointed with a purpose. You're anointed, amen, for a season that God is going to bring you into. You may be in hiding right now, but there's a revealing that is coming forth, and that's what was taking place with David. David was in a season of hiding, but then there was time of revealing for him. And so in order for him to go to this next place that God has ordained for his life and his time of revealing for him, he had to take out this giant. He had to deal with this giant, amen, that was standing in the way. So I want to encourage you to deal with the giant that is standing in your way. Slay that giant once and for all that is standing before you in your life. And again, don't let words that people say or the enemy come to speak to your mind concerning that. And that's why I want to get back to putting on the whole armor of God, like I said, the helmet of salvation. Amen. Anytime the enemy comes to attack your mind, attack your thoughts, and that's the warfare. That's where the battle is at, is in the mind. That's where he attacks you at. And that's why you have to have on that helmet of salvation, casting out every high imagination, every vain thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when that stuff comes, cast it down. Cast it down. Amen. The helmet of salvation. Then you got to wear the breastplate of righteousness. You have to stand for righteousness. Amen. And be in right standing with the Lord. I know there's a lot of prosperity messages that have been preached and being taught that you see, you know, on television and so on and everything, but there's some missing things there. I don't knock the prosperity message. Like you heard me say earlier, Jesus came that we might have light, have it, have it and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have the abundant life in St. John 10 and 10. He said that. But then there are key things within that in the process of us walking in the abundant life. We're receiving prosperity in our life. We have to walk uprightly before the Lord. There are certain standards that you have to meet in order to live the abundant life or to walk in prosperity. But a lot of times when you see that on television, that's not really mentioned. And a lot of you just hearing just, you know, you do this one step, two step, and then this prosperity is going to come. No, but they leave out the key ingredients, your relationship with the Lord, trusting in him, the word of God, walking uprightly before him, the best that you know how. Amen. Even though you may stumble sometimes, amen, you may mess up sometimes, but that's all right. Repent. Get back up. Shake off the dust and keep walking with the Lord. And that's how you continue to walk and be in right standing with the Lord and his will and standing for, as you say, putting on the breastplate of righteousness and then having your loins girded with the belt of truth. David said in 51 Psalms, make me to know truth in my inward parts. Amen. So we need truth, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth, as Jesus said, will reveal all things unto us. Amen. The truth. Amen. The truth of God's word. The truth of things that we experience and that we go through in life and when there's darkness around us. Amen. The spirit of truth. Amen. Shed light on the situation. Shed light on the answers to our problems and things, a mistake that we may have even made. Then the spirit of truth will shed light on that and cause us to get that thing right and cause us, as you say, make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. Amen. So that's why we have to stay on the straight and narrow. And so when we stay on the straight and narrow, as the word of God says, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we know that the word of God declares about the good news of the gospel of peace. And the only way you can proclaim and declare the gospel of peace and of good news is staying, as you heard me say, on the straight and narrow path and not being on the broad path where everyone wants to travel. It seems like it's the easy way to go and to get to. A lot of times in these days, these times that we are now, you know, people don't want to go through nothing. People don't want to, we want the easy thing. We want the easy way out, you know. As you know, I know you hear this over and over again. We're in a microwave type of society today. We want it instant. We want it fast. We want it instant oatmeal, quick. It's all instant grits. Everything is instant, 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 quick, fast. Instant anointings, instant mantles and soul and everything. You know, we want everything instant and quick. We don't want to pay the price for anything. We don't want to suffer and go through anything. And that's why Jesus was the perfect example for us of going through and paying the price, and that's why the disciples asked the question, must we drink? Can we drink from this bitter cup too? Can we drink from the cup too? Jesus said, yes, indeed, you shall drink from the cup too. How be it that if I'm not going to say to you, I'm not going to lie to you and say, hey, you know, once you give your life to the Lord, everything is going to be, you know, peaches and cream is going to be easy and so on and everything. No, I'm not going to even, you know, lie to you and tell you that. No, I'm not going to tell you that. You're going to go through some things, but know this, that Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what set us apart from the world. We have the greater one living on the inside of us. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, man, that is with us to comfort us, to keep us when we're going through hardships and we're going through things in our life and bring forth deliverance, you know, into our life and make the way for us and part the Red Sea for us and so on. So, but we thank God, amen, glory be unto him. And again, slay that giant in your life. And we all know the story concerning David and Goliath and how David just went forward and let Goliath know, you know what, I'm not going to let you defy the armies of God. Amen. He's going to deliver you into my hands. And you begin to make that declaration unto the enemy. Let him know that God is going to deliver you into my hands. You are a defeated foe because he is a defeated foe. It is written of him already. The word of God says that we win. It already tells you. You got to remind the enemy. Let him know that it's already written. I win. The battle, it's already won. Amen. So you got to let the enemy know that, declare that unto the enemy, especially in this season of your life. Amen. You're on the brink of breakthrough. You're on the brink of entering into what God has promised you. There's no need to stop now. There's no need, amen, to let doubt and unbelief come in, that giant of doubt and unbelief try to stop you and discourage you from entering into what God has promised you. Slay that giant. Amen. And be done with them. Amen. shoot the word of God at him, as David did. Took the slingshot, five smooth stones, which represents grace, the hand of God. Amen. And so it only took one stone for him to sling it around and throw it at the enemy. Amen. Which represents the word, the rock which is Jesus. The word hit the enemy right at the head. The word of God said, if you what, bind, how could you bind the strong man and be able to enter his house and spoil his goods? I just said it right there. Bind the strong man. That's how you get into his house. So that's what David did. He bound the strong man. And he was able to spoil his plans and what he was trying to do. And guess what? When David took care of Goliath, and then he made sure that he finished the job by chopping his head off, and sometimes we can injure the enemy, and we stop right there, and we think that it's done. No, you have to go in and annihilate the enemy. Amen. Give no place to the devil. Amen. Trample upon him. Amen. Put him under your feet. Amen. Don't give him a chance to get back up. Just put him down for good. And that's what David did. And when he did that, then guess what? They didn't even show you how the enemy is a lie. And he's a lie from the beginning, as Jesus said. He's the father of lies. Now, he made a bold statement and said that if you win, then we're going to submit unto you. And that is not what happened. They fled. They ran off. They left. They didn't even submit unto Israel. They ran off. And that's what the enemy is going to do. Once you defeat and take care of that principality that's coming up against you, that giant that's coming against you in your life, the enemy shall flee. The word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Amen. Praise God. Saints of God, I know I can go on and on, but I'm going to have to cut it short. Hopefully I'll be able to pick this back up again, but I just want to have some time, amen, for to offer salvation unto you, those of you that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. The word of God declares that tomorrow is not promised to no man, to no one. Amen. So don't put off today. Amen. Don't put off tomorrow for what you can do today. Amen. Because it's not promised to you even today. Some people that have woke up to this day but have not even made it through this day. And so they let you know right there. But you want to be ready. You want to be able to meet your maker and teach. You want to be able to stand before God in peace. You want to be able to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in peace. Amen. And you don't want to leave here, amen, not knowing him. Amen. Hell is real. I want to tell you, hell is real. And at another time, I would get a chance to be able to share with you, you know, with some experiences, some visions that I've had concerning hell and concerning the realm of the supernatural, visions and so on. I know that that's for another time, but I just want to encourage you on tonight. Amen. Those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight is the time. I know sometimes you may feel like, well, I have all the time in the world to give my life to the Lord. That's a lie of the enemy. I felt like that years ago when I was, young and everything. And I just, I was a little boy and saying, I got all the time in the world. I'm going to wait to, give my life to Jesus, when I'm older. And then when I got older, I said, no, I'm going to wait until I'm old in age. And then I'm going to give my life to the Lord. After I had all my fun, did everything that I could do under the sun, then I give my life to Jesus. And then it went from that to, now I'm going to wait till I'm on my sick bed at the point of death. And ready to die, then I give my life to Jesus. No, that's a deception and a lie of the enemy. You don't want to do that. Romans 10:9 said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the grave, from the dead, then you shall be saved. And that's all it takes, you repenting and you confessing with your mouth. Amen. That Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and that you rose from the grave on the third day. And I repent for all my sins. I repent of every sin that I've committed against you. And I receive salvation this day. I give my life to you this day. Amen. And so just go back and just read it for yourself in Romans 10:9. Amen. And just confess that prayer and do that wherever you may be. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in the local church, amen, go to a local church. Let it be made known that you gave your life to Jesus. You want to be connected with a local house, a local church. I'd like to encourage those of you, the saints of God, to be connected with a local house, to be in a place where God has called for you to be, where God has chosen for you to be, where you can grow, where you can flourish. And those of you that are called, the ministry calls upon your life, where you can be nurtured and mentored and so on and everything so that you can grow in that and grow in your calling so that you can move forward in your purpose and in your destiny. So, again, I just want to encourage you, again, saints of God, to walk in that which God has promised and destined for your life, and don't let nothing stop you. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you.
You are so glad they let me stay here with you.
Amen. Okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So I know I have a short time, so I don't know if there's any callers on the line or anyone need any prayer or any questions or comments or anything like that. I know we don't have that much time.
Praise the Lord, men of God. This is Evangelist Hannah. I'm back online. Glory to God.
God bless you.
Glory to God. Thank God for you and the word that you brought forth today. Glory to God. If anyone on the line or over the internet and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Kingdom Builders International would like to send you a Bible or an MP3 Bible. So you can go to KingdomDaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know. And we would love to send you a Bible. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you and pray for you. Glory be to God. And now the lines are open. So if you have any comments or prayer requests, you may come forth now. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise God.
Hi, it's my, this is Lisa. God bless you all.
God bless you.
I want to ask for prayer for my cousin who's in the hospital. He's been running a fever of 104 for the last 3 days. They can't get it down. He has surgery and he needs another surgery. And they saw a knot on his liver. They don't know what it is. Yeah.
Okay, what's his name?
Derek Williams.
Okay, Derek. Okay, Father, I agree with Lisa right now, according to Matthew 18 and 19. I pray the prayer of agreement. Lord, you said where the two come together is touching anything here on earth, it is done in my Father which is in heaven. I agree right now concerning the healing miracle taking place in his physical body right now. Command, I speak to his physical body right now. I command the temperature to go, the spirit of infirmity to loosen right now in the name of Jesus. I release the fire of God to burn up every sickness, every spirit of infirmity in his body right now in the name of Jesus, even that the growth on his liver to come off right now in the name to dissolve, to die, to go right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for raising him up right now, God.
Yes,
his testimony,
God.
His praise report, God, this day, God. You sent your word out and healed him, God. I send your word out to him. I send right now. I commission your angels with healing in their wings right now to go forth unto him right now and to encamp around his bed and to minister unto him. Lord, let him, let them hear, the family hear a praise report concerning him, God. To you be the glory, Father. I thank you, Lord, even for the call that is upon his life, God. And Lord, even bless God, let him fulfill the call upon his life, God. I rebuke the hand of the enemy of his life this day, the assignment. I cancel it right now this day, God. Let him fulfill me of your word concerning him and concerning the call of his life come to pass, God. And I thank you for this daughter here, God, that is on the line. God, encourage her heart, strengthen her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for financial resources being released, Lord, even into her hands, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for working it out for her right now, God. I want you to be encouraged. Daughter, God is turning some things around for you, and even in your favor, God is going to turn your mourning into joy. Amen. He's going to give you, amen, the oil of gladness upon you. Daughter, we want you to be encouraged in this hour, in this season that you're in, because God is going to bring you out and bring you through with a testimony and with a praise report. Just begin to give him the praise. Begin to give him the glory. God said, don't focus in what's been going on around you, what you've been seeing with your natural eye. He wants you to call forth that which be not as though it were. Begin to declare, because the word is nigh thee in your mouth, in your lips. God said, you have the power to be able to speak it, to be able to decree what you want. God said, begin to declare that. Begin to decree it and watch and see it come to pass. Watch and see it happen for you.
Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Thank
Amen.
You. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you also. And Apostle, we have time for more prayer requests or comments or testimonies.
Okay.
Glory to God.
Sure. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
This is Doris Kaya from California.
God bless you.
I just like to thank God for you and for your ministry, and I sure appreciate you coming on and giving us direction of which way to go and how God is touching you and leading you and guiding you. I really, really thank God for you, and I pray blessing and strength and power continue upon you. And I just give God the praise for the word of God. Thank God that we can stand and be strong and not give in to the enemy. But we have to continue to fight this battle. And the way we fight it with the word of God, by his mighty, powerful Holy Spirit that's dwelling within us. And I just give God the praise for you. In the name of Jesus, we bless you right now.
Amen. I just want to encourage you, one of God, you've been experiencing a season where the enemy has been trying to discourage you and even trying to bring depression upon you. And I just break it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes,
you know the word of God, amen, is nigh. In your mouth, amen.
Yes,
you know the word,
yes,
amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. This is a season of transition for you. And
that's
why it's been a fight. That's why the enemy has been coming up against you, trying to keep you from going into this next place that God is bringing you into. God said this is not, you know, the time, but yet to gird up. Amen.
Yes.
To put on the weapons of war. You're the weapon that God that He has given you. God said, you're the weapon that I've given you to come up against the enemy, because you do have a deliverance ministry. The enemy is more intimidated and afraid of you.
Yes.
Did you know that?
My Lord.
The enemy is more intimidated and afraid of you. And so that's why he brings distractions and different things to get you to focus in on that, because if you feel focused in on that, then you won't be able to, you know, it'll give him more time to keep doing what he's doing instead of, you know, casting him out and being done with him.
Yes.
And so on. And so that's why he do what he do, because he's more afraid of you and so on. So the enemy is more terrified of you, amen, than you are of him. I like what Joyce Meyer said. You're going to do some, if you're afraid, do it.
That's
afraid,
right.
Just do it. Even if you have to do it afraid.
Yes,
so I want to encourage you, amen, to, you know, to do it. Amen.
Yes,
so to you know, to move forward in the things of God. Don't let the enemy stop you. Amen. To be encouraged, woman of God. I just lift you up before the Lord right now, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all.
Thank you.
That she can ask or think according to the power that work of on the inside of her, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God.
I thank you,
Lord God, for divine connections, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a favor. Lord, I thank you for financial breakthrough. Lord,
thank
in the name of Jesus, Lord
you.
God. Father, I give you praise right now for the woman of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Thank
Lord, I thank you for dealing with lack, Lord,
thank
in
you.
Her life, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Thank you,
Father God. Unexpected resources
thank
being released.
You,
right now, God, in the name of unexpected resources being released, in the name of Jesus, I declare it right now. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor,
we give you
the praise.
In
Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you and your family.
God bless you.
Oh, and Tap family. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for those words of encouragement.
Yes, it was. It really was encouraging. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're waiting for anyone else that may have a request or a comment or anything like that. You know, just like I said, just like to encourage the people of God, you know, because we know the words have power, and we can't allow the enemy to ensnare us. And that's why in Hebrews 11 chapter, the word of God said that the worlds, with an S, plural, S, the worlds were framed by the word of God. A lot of times we frame our world by the words that we speak and that we release out of our mouth. Sometimes we can create our own giant through words that we speak and that we release out of our mouth, or that we allow somebody else to speak to us negative words, and we receive it and we believe it, and then next thing you know, it's manifesting in our life. And what we have done, we created a monster and so on and everything. And then I just want to encourage, you know, those that may be having some struggles and some challenges, like, and they're having a hard time saying, you know what, I can't overcome this giant in my life, because you have those that, you know, it may have been said to you that you'll never stop smoking, that you'll never get out of this abusive relationship, or you can be one that, you know, your husband will never come back, or your wife will never come back, you know, dealing with concerning spouse, or this person will never get off, you know, you'll never get off drugs, and or you'll never stop being an alcoholic, or you know, just words being released and saying, which actually, like I said, which actually can create giants, you know, in our life and everything, but you just cannot. Don't listen to that. Don't receive it, and don't hear, you know, what the enemy is trying to release, what the enemy is trying to say. You can be one in business, in your business. Just, you know, have not been no success, and your business has been failing and so on and everything, and you've been having failure in that area. But you have to, amen, just come, don't receive that coming against. You know what, I'm going to prosper the word of God in Joshua 1. And I believe down later in 8 verse, I believe, it talks about when he told Joshua, be strong, be of good courage. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I'm with you. And he said, he was telling, let them know about possessing the land, about possessing, entering into the promised land, possessing the land. And basically, he let them know that if he obeyed, keep the commandments of his word, and so that he should have good success. He should make his way prosperous. He said he shall make his way prosperous. And have good success. Amen.
Hello.
The word of God is for us to prosper and for us to have good success. God wants us to succeed.
Amen.
He wants us to succeed in our life. A lot of times, like I said, stuff that we be dealing with, it be generational curses to the bloodline that have to be broken. And we have to renounce things, the sins of our father, as if it was us, that we did the sin, that we did the wrong. And everything, and a lot of times I like to encourage the saints of God. I like to encourage you to look in your history, try to dig back in your history. If there's signs in your history, in the bloodline of divorces in the family, the women in the family getting, you know, pregnant at a certain age, at 16 or 17, you know, that with all the women, or miscarriages at a certain age, or heart problems and people leaving at 39, you know, all the males at 39, when they got to a certain age, around 38, 39, you know, they end up dying of a heart attack or something like that. That's a bloodline curse. Mm. Some people accept that, say, oh, you know, that's what happened to my mother, or this or that, that's to be accepted and so on and everything. No, you don't accept that. That's a lie from the enemy. You don't. Jesus, Galatians 3:13 says we were redeemed from the law of the curse. So you don't have to accept that. So just repent. It's not going to just let anyone. It's not going to happen to me.
No,
that's not my portion. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to receive that. So come against it, begin to repent. If you want to know what the root cause is, begin, like I said, dig out the root cause of what's happening in your line, or whether it's like I said, dealing with finances, where, you know, the history of and poverty in the family. Right? Notice, think about your forefathers, somebody in the family line. You know, did they like to con people? You know, beat people out, con artists and crooks and stuff like that. So now, you know, you're suffering because of what they did. And so that's why you got to get to the root cause. That's why you say laying the axe to the root. And I'm the type of person, I like to deal with things at the root, the heart of the matter, the root of the cause. I don't want to know the root cause. What's the sense of keep pulling the weeds up and the weeds going to keep growing back? You know, giving you a headache, you know, destroying. Like you said, that beautiful garden, the grass, and making stuff look ugly and stuff. What's the sense of keep, you know, doing that when you can attack that thing from the root, deal with it once and for all.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, man of God, we truly appreciate you allowing the Spirit of God to use you tonight with the word that you have brought forth. Glory to God. And I would like for you to give some information pertaining to your ministry, the location and the times of your service.
Amen. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you again for giving me this opportunity to be able to, you know, come on and to share with the men of God, with the people of God, again, those that are listening by, you know, internet or on their, you know, cell phones or telephones and so on. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to minister, you know, to the people of God and to share, to encourage them, the people of God, and so on. So, and I thank God for you,
the
woman of God, amen, to, you know, for having me on and everything. And but our location is 11201 South Cottage Grove, and that's in Chicago, Illinois. That's 11201 South Cottage Grove Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. That's in the Pullman area. We are in the upper room. Again, the ministry is called Repair the Breach International Ministries. Our service times are Sunday at 3 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And that's our prophetic service of fire, deliverance, night, healing night, teaching. We teach on our spiritual warfare and pray, you know, warfare, prayer, time of prayer and curse breaking and so on and everything. And we do a lot of ministering and everything on that night, on Tuesday night. But also we minister as well to the people of God on Sundays as well, too. And we just thank God. Again, that's 11201 South Cottage Grove in Chicago, Illinois, in the upper room.
Glory to God. We still have time for anyone else want to come forth with a comment or with a prayer request. You could go forth now.
Yes, hello?
God bless you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, this is Mother Phillips. This is your son, your daughter. I'm sorry. This is your mother-in-law, and I didn't know you was coming on tonight. And my granddaughter, she said, that's Minister Doc. I said, you sure? And I didn't recognize your voice, but thank God for you. You just keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing, because the Lord worked in you and through you, and I give praise to God for that. So you take care. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Amen.
This is Prophetess Teresa, and I want to address that. Mom, you thought that was your son-in-law, but it's not. So we speak.
Oh, you
will be on the line speaking prophetically like that.
Oh, my God.
I have to cover her.
Amen.
Amen.
So
that's okay.
Amen. Praise God. You're still blessed. You're still blessed.
Amen.
And amen,
praise
Apostle.
God.
Let me just please say this. I wasn't going to say anything, but
I'm glad you
prayer.
Did.
We had prayer earlier today. We have family prayer on Monday. And the words that you were saying, those same words were spoken over the prayer line.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just so in sync. And when you were speaking of fire and you were speaking of fight, that's what God was saying to us on the prayer line today. So I was, you know, just excited, and I know my mom, I had called her and told her to come on in, and I know, you know, the others that I invited to the line, and they're on, but it was just so much God with the word that you brought forth tonight. So I want to encourage you and the Lord to, that was actually what you brought forth, and that's what the people of God need. You know,
yeah.
We need the truth. We need to know how to deal with things from the root and smash the enemy head, crush his head by fighting back with the weapons of our warfare. So
yeah.
I just wanted to encourage you. You truly encouraged me tonight, and I want to thank Evangelist Hannah and also Sister Tony for just being laborers in the vineyard and
Amen.
Bringing forth men and women of God to pour into the people of God. So I just give God glory and honor for your life and what you're doing and your ministry. And we certainly will keep you and your ministry, your family, lifted up before the Lord.
It
sounds
like
glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Thank God for you. As I said earlier, letting God use you. So right now I just want to cover you in some prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God. We just thank you for the man of God and all that he has poured out tonight, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over him, and I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, Lord God. I bind up the spirit of retaliation and backlash in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the warring angels, Lord God, that is warring over him and his family and his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, that you shall continue to supply every need for him, his ministry, and his family, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. That the angels are warfaring right now on his behalf, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. They are releasing, Lord God,
promises that have been spoken over the men of God years ago, Lord God, out of the spirit room into the natural. I declare so in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the prayers that are being released, God, on his behalf, Lord God. Glory to your name, God. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for the men of God. And I just speak increase. I just speak increase.
Thank you,
over the men of God and his family, Lord God, and his ministry, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus,
I pray,
amen, and glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. You're worthy of all the glory
and
all
Hallelujah.
The honor and all the praise,
Thank
God.
Lord.
It is
yes,
your
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to your name, God. And again, we thank God for everyone who has called in on the phone lines. We thank God for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. If you know someone that needs to hear this message, they can log back on to Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International, and you will see the Men of God ministry, and you can go under that and listen to the message again in the archives. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship and adore you, God. We give you
all the
praises and honor and glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And again, we thank you, man of God, for yielding yourself to the Spirit of God tonight. Glory
thank
to
you,
God.
Lord.
And
can
God
I say one more thing
you.
If it's okay with you?
Oh, yes, you may. Yes, you may.
Just
go
one
ahead.
More thing. I just want to, this is a corporate word for those that are listening. Basically, the area that the enemy attack you in the most is going to be, you know, the area that God is going to use you in. Especially in the area of finance, you're being attacked in finances. There's been a struggle, an attack, a fight in your life. Amen. You're destined to walk in wealth and prosperity. You're going to be one that's going to be a financer of the kingdom, and the enemy knows that. So that's why he's been attacking you in that area. And someone else in another area, you've been dealing with some things in another area of your life that the enemy has been attacking you in. That's going to be part of your ministry. Whatever the struggle is, whatever the fight has been, that you've been going through, like I said, the giant that you've been facing, that's going to be the area of ministry that God is going to use you in. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I receive that, and I pray that all the listeners receive that word from the Lord corporately.
Amen.
Also, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That,
they should
have almost seen
thank you.
Giant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. In our life, and when you spoke that, man of God, I just thank God that how he's going to use me in healing. Let him see you through his spirit. Because that's where I've been attacked the most since I was 12 years old. Glory be to God. And I just thank God in advance of how he's going to use me. Glory to God.
In the name of God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You're truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Okay, Apostle, do you have anything else to say before we close out?
Again, thank you again, you know, for the opportunity to come on. Thank God for the listeners that were listening through the internet and through their telephones and everything. God bless you. Be encouraged. And I just want to speak, pronounce the Abrahamic blessing upon you. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord leave his peace with you, his shalom. Though your enemy may come in at you one way, he shall flee before you seven ways.
Yes.
And
yes.
Let the favor of the Lord surround you as like a shield.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And glory to God. And again, God loves you. Kingdom Builders International loves you. And you continue to have a blessed evening and good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
I'm not alone.